Well, when we summarize what we have heard about Jesus until now, the claim about who Jesus was, or better, is, has reached an absolute climax. We already heard he is the promised Messiah of Israel. You could think, what do I have to do with Israel? Son of Abraham, son of David. Well, the promised son of David would be the ruler of the world. And now we heard, chapter 2, he would be a new kind of Moses. And there would be a new kind of redemption story, like once Israel was redeemed from Egypt. In chapter 3, we hear that the one who comes is the Son of the Creator, the Son of God. And when Jesus was baptized, heavens open, the Spirit of God comes down, and it is again as if the world starts. Spirit of God, waters. Here we see a new Adam, a new beginning, the Son of God revealed to the world. A new Adam. We wonder, will there be a new Eve? Keep this question in mind. Well, we turn to chapter 4. Let me give you an overview of this chapter. Verses 1 to 11 are about the faithfulness of the Redeemer. Then verses 12 to 23 will be about the focus of the Redeemer. And verses 24, 25 will be about the followers of the Redeemer. So the faithfulness, the focus, and the followers. First, the faithfulness. When there comes a new Adam, then there can be a question, a credibility question. A new? Is he better than the old? And when you have something new, always the question is, what was there wrong about the old one? Why did you get a new one? Well, this is what verses 1 to 11 are all about. A credibility question. Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit to the desert to be tempted by the devil. Tempted by the devil. And when you know a little bit about the Bible, you remember the story of Adam and Eve tempted by the devil. This is what happens to Jesus. And when you know a little more about the Bible, you also know that when God had descendants of Abraham, when God had a people of himself into this world to be a blessing for the whole world, when this people of God, this believing people, was in the desert, they were tempted in the same way Adam and Eve were. And this didn't end up well. They failed to trust the word of God. They failed to trust his promises and warnings concerning things we all long for. You and I, we all long for things like satisfaction, safety. We all long to shine. These are all legitimate longings. The point is not that these longings are wrong. The point is, whom do you trust to fulfill your longings for satisfaction, safety, and to shine? Do you trust the words, the promises of God, and the warnings of God, or do you trust the lies of the devil? Well, Adam and Eve and all their children, all the people of the world, we all are like Adam and Eve. We fail in this. It's even worse. Also, people who are believers, they are not better than other people. We all fail to trust God. And now we look to Jesus. And what do we see? The new Adam doesn't fail. He's tempted by the devil, but he keeps to the word of God. He trusts his Father for his satisfaction, for his safety. He trusts his Father that his Father will make him shine as the King of the nations of the world. Jesus is faithful where we all fail. So why does Matthew share this important story with us? Don't be mistaken, I've heard more sermons about this part. They all went in this way, that we are tempted sometimes, and then the essence of the sermon, the message of the sermon was, come on, let's trust God. Let's be strong against temptation. Exhortations to try harder to stand in temptation. Actually, although there is a relationship between this and this story, this is not the reason Matthew shares this with us. I think it is better to see it as a mirror. We fail all. But now we see the new Adam. He did and he does not fail. So he can be our faithful Redeemer. And faith in Jesus is not the kind of thing as, come on, people, let us fight against temptation. No, the point is, we fail, we need a Redeemer. Turn to Jesus, he is the faithful Redeemer. So now we know who Jesus is, the new Adam, the new Moses, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, big claims, and we know that he is faithful. Now let's go on and see what will his focus be when his work begins. What is the mission of this faithful Redeemer? And as I already said, a new Exodus story commences that is not just something from history 2,000 years ago, but the story that starts there is going on until today. A huge crowd of people is going to be redeemed from slavery, from life in darkness, fear of death, pain. There is a big Redeemer, King, who will save a great people and bring them to a promised kingdom land where heaven and earth are united again. That's what not only Matthew, but the whole Bible and the whole church we are here now for is all about, a new Exodus story. Let me show you a few details from Matthew 4 that help us more to see what the focus of the Redeemer is. Observe where the Redeemer starts his work in Galilee. Why Galilee? What does that matter? Well, Galilee, as we heard, was known as the place that was the edge between the people of God, Israel, and the Gentile peoples. This is where Jesus starts, and then we immediately know that Jesus comes for his own Jewish people, but he has immediately in view also the nations of the world. He is not just a savior for a particular, specific kind of people, but he will be a savior for his people and for all the nations of the world. The savior comes to his people, the people dwelling in darkness, dwelling in the region and shadow of death, as the prophet said. Now we come back on the question, will the new Adam have a bride? Certainly. Certainly, there is his Eve. God sent the prince for his princess, his people. God heard his people cry in darkness, in troubles, in storms and deserts of life. And God had compassion. And a new Adam comes to bring light for his Eve, bound in fear, in darkness, in slavery. So that's about Galilee. Then observe the way the Redeemer begins. Have you heard that? What's the first thing that Jesus did? Jesus, verse 17, began to preach. In verse 23, he went throughout all Galilee teaching and preaching, proclaiming. Perhaps you think, why all this preaching, teaching? Lots of words. What's the sense of this all? Well, remember that when Moses went back to Egypt, when he was older, to bring redemption, then Moses and Aaron went to the people of God to preach and to teach, to tell them, the God of our father Abraham has remembered his covenant. Your future will not be always to be a slave here in this land of darkness. No, your future will be redemption. So listen, I'm going to tell you something about your God who is going to redeem you. Give faith to him and don't be afraid for the threatening words of Pharaoh. That was what Moses and Aaron did. And now observe the similarity. John the Baptist preaches, Jesus preaches. Why? To awaken the people, to give them hope. Don't think that the whole story about Jesus and God is a silly story, irrational, something for people from the past and not for now. No, listen to these words. They're important. There is a real redemption story going on. You better pay attention to it. So he begins with preaching and teaching. Then what kind of a redemption will follow? What does Jesus begin? In verses 18 to 22, we hear about a sea. A sea. This also reminds us of the story of Israel liberated from Egypt. They went through a sea. I just heard that the NIV translates verse 13, the lake of Capernaum. The translators thought Matthew is mistaken. Near Galilee, this is not a sea, this is a lake. However, Matthew uses the word sea. And he is not mistaken, and he knows the lake very well. But he says, well, there is a sea again. And when you read the story of the Exodus, you might read it as a fascinating story in the book Exodus, Exodus 1 to, say, 15 or 16. You hear that Israel goes through a sea and then a desert to the promised land. And in that sea, the Pharaoh and his army will drown as a judgment of God. And we wonder then, who is the new Pharaoh? Herod? Possibly. The Pharisees and the scribes who do not want to be baptized, high-hearted instead of humble? Well, perhaps. But observe here that when we hear about the sea, the focus of the Redeemer will not be to drown people in the sea, but he calls people to become fishers of men. So the focus is that people who might drown in the judgment of God for all they had done, the focus of Jesus is to pick them up from that sea, not to drown, but to be saved. This is the focus of the Redeemer. Save his people, not just his people from Israel, but from all the nations. People have to be saved. Then will no one and nothing drown? Well, we hear Micah speak about he will drown our sins in the depths of the sea. And when you follow Jesus and look what he's going to do, then you will see when he hangs up on the cross, he will drown under the wrath of God to save us. A new story of redemption begins, and the focus is wide. And observe that Jesus is not intending to do the thing all alone. Immediately when his work begins, he calls people to help him, to join him in this great salvation work. Moses, when you read the story of Moses, I think chapter 90, Moses tended to do everything alone. He thought, I must be the savior, so I must be strong and I must save you all. And his father-in-law said, Moses, if you do this, you will become burnt out. Well, Jesus, when he commences, immediately he knows there is a big mission. I'm going to call people to be involved, even if they are not feeling ready for it, do not exactly know what it will be all about. He involves other people. Although Jesus knows that the main work of salvation, yes, he will do alone. In Gethsemane, hanging on the cross, giving his life for redemption. That is what he is doing alone. However, we can be involved in his saving work, even if you think, me? Yes, he is calling people even today. So now we have seen that Jesus is the faithful Redeemer, and we have learned something more about the focus of the redeeming work that just begins there and goes on until today. Let us now, third point, look at the followers of the Redeemer. The verses 24 and 25. The first thing we immediately see when we look to the followers of the Redeemer is there are so many. Have you heard that? His fame spread throughout all Syria. And great crowds followed him. Oh, there are so many. Even there were many, and it would become more, more, and more. Look today, how many are there? All one big people following this Redeemer. Having discovered it, it's not a silly, old-fashioned story. It is a living Redeemer. It is about real life, the temptations we have to do with, the things we suffer from. So the first thing, how many? And then secondly, when we look to the followers of Jesus, although they are with many, they are not an anonymous mass. Jesus pays attention to them, to every one of them, their needs, their pains, their sorrows, their illnesses, how they are bound. They may come to him, and he helps them. He pays attention to them as if they were the only one. And that is still the case. How wonderful. What a savior. What a king is he. Although he is high and exalted, we, as we are, may come to him. And we do not bother him with our troubles, our stories, our pain, and our tears, we may come to him. So now when we look to his followers and the way he deals with him, we are impressed by the character of the Redeemer. Yes, the Redeemer will be bold against the Pharaohs, against Satan, against sin, against our old man to redeem us from it. He will be bold, but he is also tender. Tender-hearted for those who come to him. He is the good shepherd king. As it was described in Psalm 72, it is wonderful to read Psalm 72. In this psalm is sung about the messianic king that would come. And the messianic king, when he is there, people from far away bring him their gifts. Remind the wise men. And he will be tender-hearted, full of mercy for all his people. A shepherd king. Read Psalm 23, also a wonderful psalm about the character of the Messiah. Okay, I see the time is going too fast. It's time to draw our conclusions. We have seen Jesus as a faithful Messiah. We have seen the focus of the Messiah, and we have seen the followers of the Messiah, the Redeemer. Time to draw our conclusions. I think there is only one question important, and that is, of all these followers, my question is, are you among them? This is the crucial, main, important question. Are you among them? And I would like to stress today, it is not enough to say, I hope so. No, you must know it. Hearing about Jesus, meeting Jesus with Matthew, asks you to make decisions. Remember last week, Joseph? He hears the story. First it sounds silly. Then through the message and the messenger, he starts to understand it, and he makes his choice. He covenants to his wife, to his child. He makes his choices. The wise men, they made their choice to search and find and adore him, instead of Herod, who said, away with him. The people who heard the messages of John and of Jesus, they heard and made a choice. Some kept on the edge, said, well, I will think about it, interesting. But others made a choice. They were baptized. They were publicly humbling themselves, honest about their sins and about their need of the Savior. So now let us turn to ourselves. We all need it to come to him, to be saved by the saving work of this Redeemer. And when meeting him time after time, to be changed when we meet him by his wonderful character, and also to be involved in his mission. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that Matthew helps us to meet Jesus, your son. Dear Redeemer, we pray, give us a heart that trusts you, that sees you, that follows you, and that is involved in your wonderful story of redemption. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.